Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mean Team.
Ed Jin.
That's what happens when I have the girls around here. You guys know that sometimes the singing is not a great thing, but Dan apparently knew, and everybody else, and oh, so out of tune.
Is this killing him not to be able to talk?
Yeah. I have to tell you things now.
It's going to be in the outtakes.
Probably.
Well, now that the live stream is done, I can tell you what I think.
Yeah. You don't nail opinions around here, Dan. What?
Isn't Mackie's laptop 20 years old now?
Well, you know, it is difficult for her to get rid of the laptop because, you know, it is her fan.
Oh, my God. It's like nothing's changed.
Okay, so I've been on Polycast 3 times, and each time you haven't been there. No, I think this is on purpose, because Dan can't handle too many trolls in there.
He just knows we'd start running the cap of trolls, and he wouldn't be able to stop us.
I thought that episode was very interesting, Drew, because it was like, it should be titled, Drew Disagrees with Everyone.
No, only that one part I disagreed with people.
But you did disagree with everyone on that part, so...
Well, okay, so... No, I
you just disagreed with even that part.
You're still disagreeing, even now.
I stand by my statement.
That's right, I stand by my disagreeing.
This doesn't mean whether you don't disagree, just because you stand by it, what the heck?
No, I'm saying that I stand by what I said in that podcast.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or is it?
I mean, all I'm saying is that everyone there was wrong, and now that's right.
Well, it depends. Really, is it something I would agree with or not? Because then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
It's interesting to see an episode about this.
Yeah, I guess this thing come up.
Yep.
Someone's going to have to take over his podcast.
I guess so.
Going to blow up the planet.
Or is it technically a mutiny? I don't know. Dan, when you're listening to this, tell me if it's a mutiny.
It's a coup.
Oh, it's a coup. Yeah, that's more like it.
A mutant coup.
That's true. He will listen to this. Actually, I don't know if he'll listen to all of it or just look for those...
Yeah.
Talking loud or something.
So, see, you should have said something really loud before that to get him to pay attention.
Dan, we're doing a coup right now. On your podcast. Right now.
Wow, we're taking over.
Well, that just raised the odds that this will be included. I don't see either it's that important. The amount of yields you're getting from religion on average just aren't that impressive compared to getting another city or two out sooner.
That's totally different.
Well, so that's what you're weighing it against. If you're talking about early holy sites,
no,
it's not like you can drop
them. Oh, no, we're talking districts and districts only here. We're not talking districts versus settler, because if you go, oh, well, a different city, yeah, well, I could just choose not to build the commerce district, industrial district, or campus district as well and just build another settler to get another city.
Very easy to get a city to pop for, unless your terrain is awful.
You sure, man?
But wait, what is your argument in the first place? Now that you're mentioning that, I'm not sure where you're coming from.
I'm more laughing at the fact that when we're talking purely districts, that you're throwing settlers into it whenever I suggest holy sites, but you refuse to accept settlers when it comes to anything else. Because when you're talking district versus district...
Let me back up. You have a point.
When you hit a new unit, it would take time to get its combat strength up because you go through techs and civics to do that.
Yeah.
Upgrade costs, if you do that, upgrade costs, if they're based on the combat strength differential, would be cheaper as well, because the new unit wouldn't be too much more powerful than the old unit at the time, and so it would be relatively cheap, and then the longer you wait, and the more powerful you make the next unit, the more expensive it would be to upgrade.
Unless you scaled it in a way where you had some disincentive to upgrade it right away and keep the old stuff because it's more familiar, but eventually then you would get outscaled.
Well, I would say that the sword versus spear versus horse those modifiers that help in that respect.
Oh, I'm thinking like arrow jumps, not...
Oh, no, that stuff would disappear as soon as you hit gunpowder. So gunpowder units would still be the melee line, but gunpowder units would lose the bonuses of the melee line versus pikes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you could make those bonuses like that. Enough that your very initial gunpowder unit could actually be technically worse, so you don't want to necessarily switch immediately.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like on par, but
yeah, it's the on par or whatever. Yeah, you can easily do that. Gunpowder made it to Europe, and they didn't all like, oh, we don't need swords no more.
Yeah.
Gunpowder made its way across Asia, and you didn't see people without gunpowder get just absolutely wrecked.
It was impractical for a long time.
Yeah, it was both.
Depending on what you're fighting. If you're going up against formation armies in plate, or really any decent armor, then even the earlier firearms were more attractive, because you needed a pretty low, a weak bullet to not just punch through the armor. But if you're fighting, like, dudes on horses who arrow you from outside your effective range, that's not very helpful.
Well, that's the thing. Historically, it was arrows versus guns. That was the actual dichotomy, not sword versus gun.
Well, yeah, but the arrows do not punch through armor like guns do.
Oh, yes, they do. They punch through armor way better than the guns did.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Even, like, powder arrow firearms yep. get through plate more easily than arrows. Unless you're talking about really, really, really super high torque crossbows. But even those had limitations.
Longbows would wreck through.
Well, crossbows had more force than longbows, even, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well,
could not put that much force with just one arm.
Something I was thinking about for the issue of early conquest has a huge dominating effect on the game. And in multiplayer, it has two problems. One is that it's snowballing, so the things you do early in the game basically determine the rest of the game. You can end up in first place, and, well, that's that.
And it's your game to lose, yeah.
Yeah. But it also ruins it for the guy who got conquered.
Well, too bad.
Well.
Yeah. But
Look, wait a minute. The guy who got conquered, they don't have to worry about anything being ruined. They're gone. They don't have to worry about that. It's okay.
But they're sad.
No. See, they don't exist anymore to be sad. You stop their sadness permanently.
Okay, no, but what I was thinking is I was playing the board game Seven Wonders, and the way military works in that, you get points for beating up on your neighbors, but you don't destroy them.
Well, of course not. That's a completely different game and has nothing to do with reality.
Right.
Like most games, but yeah.
But it got me thinking about a model where military can gain you power and glory, but without destroying everybody.
Well, yes,
boring.
you can destroy
everybody and ruin their games.
You can go over and mass pillage that person, and then once you burn down all this stuff, you can walk away and go, look at me, I got lots of stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't ruin anyone's game. I won't set you back to it.
Yeah.
And or we can just reduce you to one city that has all of your stuff pillaged and you can't leave.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much how you can win any victory condition in the game you want. People who say that domination is easier than culture or science victory fail to take into account that you can do that. And that means that by default, you can win any victory condition you want.
All victory conditions are military victory conditions.
At that point, yeah.
So there will be that one AI that has exactly one desert tile, which will get filled with
the pyramids. Yeah. Mm. There's three tiles in the city. I'm going to build Petra. Oh, my God.
Three? I've seen them do it with one.
I know, but at least occasionally I've seen them be a little more useful with it.
Yeah, but even when they do that, they'll then build wonders or districts on the other two desert tiles. And waste
yep,
there.
Pretty much.
They're just trying to go for a score victory.
Yep.
Got to watch out.
And if, of course, you're going for that whole, I have absolutely no good adjacency bonuses from playing, no good mountains for the campus or, you know, no good surrounds or anything, then you can always build the Eiffel Tower to drive up your appeal. And as the wiki says, you can also plant forests in the late game to increase the appeal, but that's kind of questionable. Planting woods to increase appeal of a specific district, I mean, you have to get to breathtaking. So if you can get it up to breathtaking, that just gives you +3. Depends on what one you're putting there and what you're looking for. And really, by the time you can plant woods, an extra 1 or 2 points of science or culture or something isn't really going to affect you.
I thought that was more standard to do if you wanted one city that could just hammer really heavily and you'd spam lumber mills. It's pretty builder intensive, but you can centralize a lot of production there.
Yeah, about the only time I do it is with tundra tiles. Like,
yeah. Tundra tiles, definitely.
The first time next turn didn't mean next turn.
I just use keys, so it takes me less time than you, apparently.
What keys are you using?
Gloves thrown down.
I re-key mapped, so I'm using ZX and spacebar. X is for switch between units, Z is for switch between cities, spacebar is for next action. So it just zips through the both unit movement and all the turns.
Oh, it's like you've combined with the Shift-Enter thing. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not Shift-Enter. No, Shift-Enter is totally separate.
Well, Shift-Enter rolls over the turn, but if you Shift-Enter, you can get past all those. Hey, the unit still needs orders, unit still needs orders.
No, this is the next action.
That's different from what I'm saying, though.
No, when you use next action, it takes it out of the order.
Okay, so I should start doing that then to get past this. If you don't do that, if you just click on a next unit, then it treats it like you haven't moved the unit you have moved. And when you hit next turn, it does not advance the turn. It moves you back to that unit.
So, yes, it's good that there's that circumvention, but still you should be able to hit next turn and it does the exact same thing.
I find it hard to believe Matt plays faster than me, by the way. Better yet, faster, doubtful.
I can spacebar faster than you can move your mouse.
Oh, man. Remember those couple games of StarCraft we played?
Yeah. Choose not to take specific great people, because I personally think that you should always take them.
It depends. There's a few I will refuse, and it might be a couple of those admirals I might actually refuse if I'm hoping for a better one from that era. Sometimes I'll refuse scientists if I've already progressed far enough. To where it won't make an effect.
Yeah,
and I'd rather not waste points on it.
Yeah. I don't mind the passing part, because somebody else will take it. And every time somebody passes, the cost goes down, so it won't be sitting there forever. Unless, of course, you're playing a multiplayer game
where
somebody
the only
just
one.
Refuses.
Yeah. The only one going for that particular great person.
Yeah.
There's also, like, one or two merchants I'll pass on, but not many. I'll pretty much take every engineer, possibly with the exception of the wall-building guy.
The wall-building guy is awesome.
Well, now you're as a matter of that.
But see, by the time you gather enough engineer points to take the guy, I've already built the walls. With the bonus from defensive mentality and possibly with the monarchy bonus.
Yeah.
I have a thought about this. First of all, a bigger pool, but you also can choose from the pool so you don't only have one type of great artist or great person to choose from. When you get the opportunity to take a great person, you have a choice of maybe two instead of just the one.
I'm fine with one, but I was thinking some similar line to deal with the issue. Say you're in the Renaissance and you've already plowed through all four, instead of jumping up to the industrial, even though this won't work for artists, that it would actually go to backfill. So it'll go previous eras and backfill older stuff before switching to the industrial.
Which unfortunately doesn't work for artists because they only start in the Renaissance.
But
if you ask me, I think the only thing to do with artists is, if you ask me, make the pool like 4 or 5 times the size, reduce the cost, and make it so you choose which of their works you get.
Yeah, or just chop off a couple and
because then if you have a better chance to get the particular thing you want, like sculptures.
Yeah.
Notice that civilizations never do peace because they're sick of fighting. No, it's because you're winning.
Yep.
They don't...
Yeah. It's, like, it's almost like they ignore war weariness or something.
I don't care if these rebels respond or tearing apart my empire. I'm not making peace with you.
Are your cities lightly defended now? What a pity.
Even when it's those wars and I don't go on the counteroffensive, I'm just like, you sent like 10 warriors my way and I've killed them all. Give me peace. And you're like, no. And like... I just want a white peace. I don't want any of your shit. Just end it. And you're like, no, this war is not over. I'm winning, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as I walk over and pillage one tile, it's like, here, half my empire.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll give you 1 gold. You give me 5 luxuries and 2 strategics. And I'm like, get the hell out of my court.
Nope.
Go back to your land.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I'm not talking to you. Or the other guys that come up to you and it's like, okay, I'll give you 50 gold and I want 2 of these. And I'm like, can I just have your luxury? No, for that I want 6 luxuries, 2 great works and a city. But you have 7 of them. What does it matter? pretty much as soon as they get to denouncing it, they're like, oh, wait, start giving me stuff. They'll keep sending those messages like every turn, and I look at them on my entire other continent on the other side, and I'm like, no. If you want it, come get it.
Then I beat the crap out of Australia, and shortly after making peace, they're like, you better give us a bunch of stuff or else. I'm like, or else what? I nuke the rest of your empire? There does need to be more great people in general, so that
yes.
the pool is larger. Even
yes.
if there's not, even if there's not yeah. more per era, but that there is a bigger pool.
Absolutely, especially for a larger maps and
yeah. There's not enough variety, and they can be predictable.
Especially with great generals and having a lot of warmongers getting encampments up early, is pool for great generals gets taken up so quickly. That
you're already into Renaissance, guys.
You're already into Renaissance, and it's really bad. If pool was larger, you wouldn't have that kind of problem.
You know what I'm thinking is that maybe next time I see another civilization settler wandering into my territory, I'm just going to kill it. Instead of, no. There's nothing more irritating than you have most of the continent, but another civilization city is right there, a little nodule. It's like, why did you do that?
But we have to fill in the space, didn't you know?
I kind of wouldn't mind if the warmongering penalty was maybe reduced a little late game for distance and all that sort of thing. So if someone sails from the other continent over to yours and settles, no one should really bat an eyelid that you just absolutely mullered it into the ground.
Well,
it's like, it oh, wait, sense, a yeah. country on this side of the world just attacked another country. I should be really, really angry, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't think that adjacency bonuses are as important as I originally might have thought. I mean, unless you can get, like, a huge +5 bonus or something.
Well, yeah. Even a +2 or a +3 from an early campus can still be pretty good, because that adds up.
Think about it, like, to the next thing.
Yeah, think a campus adjacency is basically the same as, you know, you just randomly discovering a scientific city-state first, and suddenly you're swimming in science and you're teching so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on if you put the card down for doubling up the adjacency bonuses.
There's a lot of stuff with regards to all these base additive figures that probably could do with some balancing here or there.
You mean like why there shouldn't be a billion cities in your empire?
Something like that, maybe.
It's kind of a huge shift between Civ 5 and Civ 6, between the additive and multiplicative. Maybe they should find a way to mix them up.
Even a slight reduction of some of the values might even be necessary. It's going to be hard to balance.
And that's something that you really should be thinking about all game. We don't really emphasize it on the show a lot. It's basic micro, but yeah, you should be doing it, yes, if you want to be playing effectively.
Not necessarily basic micro, but basic planning.
Well, okay, but it's micromanagement planning.
No, it's just call it planet. Let's get the word micromanagement far away from it, because people have bad reactions when you call things micromanagement.
It's fine. They shouldn't. The only reason that people have bad reactions to for micromanagement is because the game makes them tedious chores. Micromanagement at its core is not necessarily bad.
Yeah. City planning should not be considered a tedious chore.
Well, what I'm talking about, though, is like you're making the builder time so that it's ready when you're settling the city. So you don't have units sitting around for an eternity, or you don't have a city growing and not being able to work improved tiles because you built your builder too late.
Yeah, that's planning.
So that's like unit movement turn planning. It's micromanagement.
No.
Attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's fine, though. I mean, we're not disagreeing what we are actually doing in practice.
No.
You can call it whatever you want, but you should be doing it if you want to be playing well.
Yeah.
If you had, say, 3 copies of Die, and you went to the same AI, you could offer them not one, but both copies, and they would accept it, typically for less.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes they would actually value the second one more. I know there were some other variables in there that I wasn't counting for. And yes, the counter to that is that Dan, they could then turn around and then be acting as a broker for that second copy.
Yeah.
That's true, but was the AI actually doing that? I really doubt that. If they would, that would actually be fantastic. But I think there's some other things, more simple things, that we would want to address with the AI before we put some kind of brokering aspect into the game.
The AI trades for a second copy, you could be like, oh look, I have 2 copies of this now, so I can trade it. So it's just like not blocking after one deal. The scenario you describe actually justifies that functionality, because maybe no one else is willing to trade with you, but this AI is, and other people are willing to trade with this AI, so you are taking a penalty on potential trade due to your diplo relations, but there's still benefit to be had for you and for the person you're trading with because they can get a small gain out of trading that resource forward.
I'd almost suggest that both caravels and frigates should just be flat range, that there shouldn't be a melee naval unit, because that's just weird. No one rams anymore. Really, after the very first ramming ship back in the day, they put guns on those things.
Yeah, I'm okay with the ramming stuff when it's still pre-cannon, but once you have cannon, that's probably what you should be using.
Yeah.
Well, there was ramming in the Napoleonic era still, but
it wasn't like the only thing ships did, though, usually.
Sometimes when you were in a close naval engagement, that's what you did if you had no other choice.
Well, yeah, but you were also trying to sink them by sinking your own boat.
Your ship could still shoot, though. Like, you were still capable of shooting.
Even
it
then,
wasn't your only option to ram all the time. You didn't go out to sea anticipating that your only offensive maneuver is to ram the ship.
You don't ram the ship to sink it. You ram it to stop it from moving. Because thinking it is counterproductive. You were trying to capture it.
But the small ships that you use to actually ram and try and board, those were tiny ships. If a proper frigate actually got a gun on it, it would blow the ramming ship up pretty quick. That's why I usually went in fleets, because they were, well, really easy to get exploded. But I would still suggest, I mean, they should just be ranged after that, unless you have specialized boarding ships, and then everybody has an option to capture the ship.
Yeah, something privateer-like.
Yeah, but
it sucks in combat, but you can use it if you've got someone weakened or out of position.
Yeah, give it its combat strength based on what your melee units are. So if you have basic gunpowder units, then that's what it would jump across the boat to try and capture the ship. If you kind of ignored your gunpowder and went straight to boats, well, you'd probably have swords. But no gunpowder, which makes it weird that you have cannons on boats at the same time. But, you know, it's just one of those pretend things.
It's always been a thing in Civ.
Yeah.
Well, cannons did predate guns, so...
Well, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you still had gunpowder first.
Well, yeah. Kind of weird to have a cannon without gunpowder.
Kinda.
But I can picture, like, late medieval having the early cannons, but not having the proper guns held by musket men or whatever.
Well, obviously. I mean, they really should be split. Like, the siege-based ones were definitely first.
Yeah.
Early guns had a tendency to blow up.
Hand cannon, because you lose your hand when you fire it.
Pretty much.
And if you're lucky, that's all you lost.
And from a little earlier there, Mackie, I think you should look around your feet. There might be a grasshopper around you, because it sounded like a grasshopper rubbing its legs when you were...
Oh, that may have been... Is it?
Jimmy? Is that you?
That's
not a cricket.
Oh, Mackie's eating grasshoppers now. Well, I hear it's a popular source of protein. So, sure.
You get a nice contrast flavor if you coat them in chocolate. Or
I was just
like,
about to say.
Type stuff, like... Coat them in gummy and just kind of like bite in. Yeah.
Do I need to look on Amazon to see if there's actually a thing as gummy grasshoppers?
You can live and search it.
Probably you should Google it. Just
Google
it.
Search. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why?
It'll abuse us?
No.
I want to hear your reaction when you see it. It'll be great.
When you find out it's true.
Coming this year, deep fried grasshopper.
I mean, I'm sure we've already gone through search word thing.
This hasn't already.
Hey, that should be a resource. Six insects. Yep. A cluster of insects. Well, I didn't want it. No, I'm not.
Everyone acts on the board. Insect.
Yep.
Insect. And then you could have an amphibian one as well. That'd be great. Something about a demo. Balls.
Mackie?
Oh, crap. Poor me. Why would it be anybody else but me? Now I have to find the thing and find the page again.
Do you want me to do it then?
Yeah, would you?
Okay, there's a Civ 6 demo now available.
I knew it was going to happen.
Not me.
I knew it.
It does make me want to have a city-state that doesn't give any bonuses, and it's just like a leech on your society. They call it something, and that one.
Oh! I'm sorry! I'm not sorry!
Totally not sorry for that.
Oh, it could be great. Derek Paxton, bleep! And... Whoa. Hey, I picked worse, actually.
There you go. That is the great thing about working at Stardock and not having any external publisher suit guys in control is we can absolutely do all that stuff, but Brad doesn't care, and we just...
Whoa, wait, I'm sorry. You can bleep?
No, that wasn't what I was saying.
Especially the weird prostitution in there. I'm not really in the original post.
Really, man?
On the national scale, exactly.
Empirical.
Well, this is like 90% of my economy, guys. I have to have it.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how we can flip that in there. No, I can't say it. I really want to, but I don't want to.
I am not. No. Facts.
Oh my god.
Anyway, strategic view. Let's transition away from that. Apparently, somebody.
No, yeah, no. Let's give him like 92. We'll throw him a phone.
Yeah.
I've already been boned enough. Not confused. Not to be confused.
Oh, wait a minute.
I would use lettuce in wrestling because you can eat a lot of that without any calories, of course. So.
I
couldn't eat anything.
Speaking.
Sorry, I was off wondering how you were working lettuce into a wrestling match, but okay.
Well, me too. I'm like, what, do you take the lettuce and tickle the underarm of the opponent and make them... giggle and distract.
Oh my gosh. That sounded bad now that I think about it.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
Recorded, sorted. 2017.
And as it's 5 a.m. here, it's time to go to bed.
Yes. No coffee for you.
No.
Are you sure it wasn't time to go to bed at 4:59, or maybe you need to wait till 5:01? Does it specifically have to be 5 a.m. your time?
Yes. Yeah, no, it does. That's bedtime.
Oh, not before, not afterwards? So you're asleep for exactly 1 minute? Or less than 1 minute, if the minute has already started? Wow.
Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive.
Yeah, well, I can't go to bed now because it's not 5 o'clock.
So. Oh, that's your secret. That's how you stay awake all the time.
Yep, there must be
asleep at 5 o'clock.
So now I know your schedule. You're predictable. Okay, good to know.
Dan, quit stalking people.
Mackie, just because I stalk people other than you. wait, what?
Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.